were putting in plans that we already had in place. So all this was going on simultaneously. Bill and his people and the first rescue team arrived within about 70 hours of the earthquake, and they went out and started trying to do rescues. We've had a number of lessons learned. It's been harder than it should be, quite frankly. Things like flight clearances, getting people in, just took longer. It took a lot of bureaucratic effort that it shouldn't have taken. I share that with my colleagues here. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Bill Berger, and then General Whistler will say a few words. We've also asked the leaders of our search and rescue teams. When we get done doing that, we're going to walk you through the search and rescue teams and let you see the Marine Command Center to give you a sense of how we respond. Okay, Bill.
Thank you, Ambassador Godey, and welcome to you all. I want to be very brief this morning. As the ambassador said, USAID is the lead U.S. federal agency for responding to disasters overseas. We have the ability to tap any resource within the U.S. government that we need to bring to bear. For instance, in Fukushima, I had nuclear regulatory people on my team. So in this instance, the first thing we did was get our search and rescue people here. We had two 57-man, six-dog teams, so that's 114 people and 12 dogs. We immediately jumped on military lift and got out here within 72 hours and began search and rescue. Simultaneously, we asked our DoD colleagues to bring in the rotary lift that was we knew was going to be needed here to get the supplies out into the field. We also immediately provided $1 million to save the children for to respond across the country to emergency needs. We also have a dark team of about 20 people. In aggregate, we have hundreds of years of experience in managing and responding to disasters. So we have a deep wealth of expertise, and we've helped to fit into the international response framework. We know how to do that. We work within that. We work under the auspices of the Chief of Mission here. We work with the international community as part of that international response, and we provide technical expertise whenever it's needed. So far to date, USG has contributed nearly $27 million, including $21 million from USAID OFDA, $2.5 million from USAID Food for Peace, and more than $3.3 million from our DoD colleagues. So let me finish up with that, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer as we move around. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Lieutenant General John Whistler. My day-to-day job is I command the 3 Marine Expeditionary Force. But I stand here today as Admiral Locklear's representative, as the commander of Joint Task Force 505. So when we get a chance to walk through the compound, you'll see a lot of people wearing uniforms that look like this, but you'll also see our Air Force, our Army, and our Navy counterparts that are all part of the Joint Task Force that that are here to respond. Total Joint Task Force 505 is about 720 of our uniformed services personnel. The predominance of those from the Marine Corps, about 470. We have 55 soldiers, 160 from the Air Force. We have 5 U.S. civilians and 15 contractors that are here in support of this effort. We are currently on the ground with 4 MV-22 Ospreys. You probably have seen, maybe if you didn't, you saw them in the news, a very interesting aircraft that can land as a helicopter, but in full flight flies like an airplane. So the rotors that allow it to take off vertically actually rotate 90 degrees forward. It flies like an airplane at a speed of approximately 300 miles an hour. A very, very capable platform, particularly in the large reach of area that we have to cover here. We also have 3 of our brand new UH-1 Yankee 4-bladed helicopters. In comparison, approximately the same capability as a UH-60 that you may be familiar with. A little bit faster, a little bit more lift capacity, but about the same sort of an aircraft. We also have back in Utapau, Thailand, 4 United States Marine Corps C-130s and 4 Air Force C-130s. The Marine Corps C-130s are valuable because they allow us to do aerial refueling of those MV-22 Ospreys if we get out in distant locations where we're going to need to bring capability and not have to come far distances back to TIA to refuel and interrupt flight operations here. Our sector is Sector 4, a sector that's about 60 miles wide and 75 miles north to south. It includes 5 districts, Kavre, Sindulu, Dolaka, Ramachop, and Okaldunga. We think the Dholka district, Dholaka district, is the one that's most severely impacted, and that's where we've been focusing our effort. To give you a sense of what we've done to date, in addition to flowing all those forces, we've done 18 and a half flight hours. We've had 16 aircraft sorties. We've transported about 14 tons of relief supplies, and about 56 people have been transported in and around the area. I tell you that because today's the beginning of what will be sort of the norm for us. Today we intend to fly another 19 flight hours, so basically flying today what we've flown cumulatively since we started flying operations. We'll do 14 sorties, almost the same as we've done to date. We'll transport another 12 tons of cargo. Most importantly, we'll move 325 support personnel for the relief operation out and about to 14 different sites out in our sector that will be able to help us with the distribution and security of relief effort as we move out. We're very proud to be here and be a part of the team to help Nepal. Personally, I'm privileged to command a great bunch of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who are very anxious to help the Nepalese people and to help the Nepalese Army as we engage in this. This team, this is our second major humanitarian assistance and disaster relief operation. We undertook relief operations in the Philippines in November of 2013. We learned some lessons there. We obviously didn't get it all right because we're back here and we're going to make this even better. We have rehearsed this with our Nepalese Army counterparts as recently as last November. And that has paid huge dividends in making us ready to show up on the ground with our USAID and OFTA partners and be ready to execute the mission. And most importantly, to have partners in the international aid organizations that we can tie into. We have liaison officers in almost every one of the other international IGO, NGO organizations that are out there so that we can coordinate this effort best. And the effort between USAID and the Department of Defense, I think, is probably as good as it's ever been. And we look forward to making this a very successful relief operation. Pending that, I'll turn the floor over to the folks who've done the very hard work.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address you and talk a little bit about USAR. I'm Battalion Chief Chris Shaw with Fairfax County Fire Rescue, USA-1. Joining me on the left of your right is Battalion Chief John Boyle from Los Angeles County, USA-2. On site are the two USAID DART search and rescue teams, one from Fairfax County, Virginia, and the other from Los Angeles County, California. USAID will deploy these assets as part of the DART package based on needs identified on the ground after the disaster. These are two highly trained and experienced teams and are the only two USAR assets that are under the control of USAID for international deployment. These teams deploy on short notice to natural and man-made disasters. We are ready to depart 6 hours from the time of activation. We are self-sufficient for 14 days. We are composed of rescue specialists, tech search specialists, canine, engineers, heavy riggers, physicians, logistics specialists, comms, and IT specialists. Currently, as you can see in the background, we are co-located as part of the Fairfax and Los Angeles County Urban Search and Rescue Team. While we are two teams, we come together as one team representing the United States, supported by USAID DART with one mission, and that's to provide search and rescue and humanitarian assistance to those in need. While here on April 30th, while the two teams were out doing recon missions for search and rescue operations, the Nepalese government, the armed police force, ran into us while we were out and asked if we could assist them in the rescue of a 15-year-old boy that had been trapped for 15 days. Los Angeles County and Fairfax County team joined with that crew that was already working on that rescue and provided technical assistance to remove that young man, as well as medical treatment while he was in the hole and medical treatment while he was transported to the Israeli field hospital. The opportunity to work collaboratively with the local government, as well as with our partners from Los Angeles County, and all the partners that are on the ground to ensure the successful rescue of him, as well as to ensure the engineering assessments and the opportunities we've had over the last couple of days to provide humanitarian assistance to the local government and to the people of Nepal, have been what we deployed for. We appreciate the support of USAID, of the local government, and all the officials here that come together to get us on the ground in country to provide that assistance.
Get a shot of them with those guys in the background.
Thanks very much. I'm Beth Dunford. I'm the director of USA Nepal here in country. And as the development arm of the U.S. government, we've been a strong partner in Nepal for over 60 years, really in partnership providing foundational investments, building the country's first telephone exchange, elimination of malaria in the Terai, building the country's health and education systems. And it's upon this platform that we were here when the earthquake struck, and our partners were already on the ground in seven of the most affected districts, and we were able to distribute relief supplies within hours and days of the actual quake, while international assistance arrived very, very soon after. So it's this network of partners and our strong foundation. We have been here for 60 years, and we will continue to be here. One of the investments that we've been making over the years has been in disaster risk reduction under the leadership of Bill Berger, who lived here for 18 years and really led this effort with OFDA funding and the DRR effort. And through doing that, we were able to we continually fund the preposition of supplies that were available and ready in key locations to be able to distribute within hours of the earthquake. And our partner NSET, the National Society of Earthquake Technology, it's an organization that we helped build the capacity of over several years, several decades. They're responding to the government of Nepal's request for infrastructure assessments and has already completed a number